Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 5th of March, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now first, a quick look at the highlights of the week, as this is the big picture long-term outlook for various asset classes. Stock markets doing it like the book and rallying from those rising 200-day moving averages. Good strong day in here today. The exceptions, well, China A shares are a bit flat as people worry about some of the credit restrictions that are taking place there. More about that in a moment. But I see Hong Kong was up over up nearly 2.25% here today. Europe had solid gains in the region of 1.5 to 2%, and we had lots of new highs in Europe. More on that in a moment. New recovery highs. And the Americas were firm. The S&P and the NASDAQ closing out with gains of just under 1.5% and near the higher side of the day. We've got Brazil on a gain of 1.5% as well. Long-dated government bonds I experienced some selling pressure, and that needs to be watched. It was mainly in the U.S. Treasuries, although actually I see there was some late selling in the gilts. They hadn't been doing all that badly at one stage, but are down 47 ticks on the bond futures. And elsewhere, precious metals. A mixed day. Silver has done better, up over 20 cents. Palladium has soared, up 15. That's a new recovery high. And gold just up about a dollar or so, off the highs that we had seen earlier in the day. And platinum down about $4 or $5. The industrial metals were all stronger on the day. Crude oil was quite strong at 81.80, and the agricultural commodities mostly firmer, although I can see that corn was an exception to that. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, when I said that this was textbook action for a cyclical bull market, you may recall last year on the way up, the biggest concern that was expressed by me was that stock market indices were becoming overextended relative to their rising 200-day moving averages. And also, I have repeated on a number of occasions that in a cyclical bull trend, you will see that rising 200-day moving average tested and found to provide support on several occasions. Well, it happened in sort of the first week of July last year, and then we got some big upward dynamics, and you know what happened thereafter. But that rally sort of was running out of steam from September and October onwards. As explosive as it was, it had become so overextended relative to the rising moving averages that another ranging consolidation was needed. Now, with some markets, we saw a downward drift. Some markets were basically straight sideways. But we did get the mean reversion correction. And 4 weeks ago or so, we were seeing the MAs that were touched. Some of the markets dipped a fraction below them. Some, like Wall Street's indices, bottomed above them. But all have pushed steadily up off those MAs. I fretted during the first week of the rally because we hadn't seen any upward dynamics, but upward dynamics were forthcoming. And we've seen some good strong gains. And as a consequence of that, we have seen a reasonable amount of trend reaffirming. One of the strongest areas And I think there's a very good reason for this, is in the European indices today, and Owen mentioned a number of these in his review, but we had quite a few of the European stock market indices pushed through to new high ground. I won't be able to remember them all, but Switzerland had done that. Switzerland was the first to do that early in the week. We've had Finland, we've had Sweden, we've had Denmark all pushed to new highs. So this is very good action here overall. And one of the, well, I think the key reason for that, and some people may be surprised and say, well, wait a minute, we've got Greece and we've got the concern over Italy and Spain and so on, and Portugal. Well, the reason is really quite simple. The euro has been extremely weak, and I hadn't reviewed the currencies in my review of that update, but that's been the big story. A weaker euro, although it has lost downward momentum this week. It had actually started to lose downward momentum last week, but it was a big drop overall in recent months, and that has made the outlook for corporate profits for Europe's big international exporters, companies that export outside of the Eurozone, I'm referring to, their consolidated earnings are going to look better, and analysts will be busily recalculating those earnings. I have to cough here just a second, excuse me. And so better earnings we can expect from this European sector, and I'm sure that Trichet at the ECB and the heads of state in France and Germany, that while the Greek situation and other sovereign debt problems have been an embarrassment and an irritant, Greece is going to bite the bullet on this. I think we all know that, and not least as Ireland already did without the public protests that we're seeing, but different cultures. Now, I'd said before that Greece couldn't devalue, but of course, Euroland can, and that's exactly what we've seen. And so the silver lining in all this for the heads of state, the stronger countries, well, and also the weaker countries, and particularly in the weaker countries, you could say, and also for Trichet, is that all those concerns when the euro was kited higher because people were worried about the US dollar and opting for the euro as a reserve currency of choice. Well, that's all been reversed. So this is good news here, as I say, for Euroland's international exporters. And some of them are going to run, I think, quite strongly on the upside. Now, the dollar is not so strong as to be providing a significant headwind for the U.S.'s international exporters, but we could say we have a modest headwind there. But more important is the tailwind from global GDP growth led by the emerging progressing markets. Overall. So what's going to happen here? Well, I think first in terms of the three scenarios that I outlined, must have been about a month ago, saying 40% chance that we would see markets move right straight back up from those MAs and reaffirm the overall upward trends and continue higher in ranging upward trends. That's the best case scenario if you're long. And I rated that a 40% chance. Rated also a 40% chance was that we would have the boring option where markets would range around, they would back away from the higher side of their trading ranges, work their way laterally through the 200-day MAs and mess around in a fairly lengthy pause, which would certainly more than question the integrity of the cyclical bull trend. And the third option, which I generously rated at 20%, was that we would see something much worse and that markets would go back down and some of them would go through their March lows. Well, option number one is strongly in the driver's seat. Option number two is still in with a small chance. Option three is off the table as far as I'm concerned, unless there's exogenous event right around the corner of biblical proportions, and I'm not in the business of predicting that. So, what's going to happen? Not all markets will do the same thing, because we're well beyond the stage where you just get the relief short covering and buy anything rally. That was what we saw for much of last year until we got into the long sideways ranging phases. What we will see, and those of you who have attended the chart seminar on the importance, may recall the important sections on congestion area analysis. Congestion area analysis. For newcomers to the service who have not been on or who have not been on TCS, those are those sideways trading ranges. We'll go in and look at the weekly charts, and you'll see plenty of sideways trading ranges on stock market indices. And what those tend to do is to thin out the supply above the range and the demand below the range, for the simple reason that you and I and everyone else can only deal with the reality that the market provides. And if the market's locked in a trading range, anybody who wants to sell finally has to drop their orders down into that trading range. They'll try to get the higher side. And anyone who wants to buy below the trading range eventually either goes away and looks at something else or moves their bids up into the trading range. So you tend to thin out the demand below and the supply above. And once you get a breakout from those trading ranges, you do get some explosive moves because the demand increases as more people jump on board and cover shorts, and you get the self-feeding advance, and it becomes very much a seller's market in that people who are long and thinking of taking profits are under no pressure to get out quickly, and so they dangle out offers in small parcels, like a fisherman, you know, and they wait for the fish to come up and take the bait. So the better stock markets, and those are the ones that are leading right now, will break out and quite possibly run on the upside. Now, having said that, we are a little overbought in the short term, but I don't think we'll see any lengthy consolidation, if at all. In other words, in saying not lengthy, I don't think we'd see more than a week or two consolidation, and probably in a narrow range, if that. And we will see, as I say, these markets push higher. They'll surprise on the upside, just as this rally from the 200-day moving averages has surprised on the upside, although not Fuller Money subscribers, hopefully, because it was very much in the script. And the script is described last year, and the script is described recently. Now, some other markets that are less desirable in the eye of the beholder buyer will maybe range around a little bit more and will lag on the upside. Very few will head downwards, and for a market to head downwards over the short term, I think we really do have to have a major problem. And even Greece's stock market has lost downside momentum in the last couple of weeks. Okay. So that's a pretty good environment for equities generally. Fuller Money themes are doing well. I had a quick peek at my top 10 positions, and Three of those have hit new recovery highs for the year, and those are BlackRock World Mining Trust, BHP Billiton, and the Aberdeen New Tie Fund. And most of the other positions are pressing right against those highs. So I'm expecting to do reasonably well. Now, if markets do really take off on the upside, it will be prudent to take some profits if they really take off on the upside. I'm not talking about next week, but I'm talking about in the next couple of months, perhaps. We'll see. Let's get there first. Now, what else to mention here? The long-dated government bonds, and I'll talk about canaries in the coal mine, and that reference was unfamiliar to some subscribers, so it needs to be explained. In a bygone era, miners would take canaries in cages down in the coal mines, because the methane gas, I believe, no, it couldn't have been methane gas, but whatever the gas was, you couldn't really smell it. And it made it quite dangerous because you could be asphyxiated, it could explode. And as long as the canaries were singing happily in their cages, and they must have been robust, resilient canaries to be able to do that in a coal mine, but at any rate, they did. And as long as they were singing in their cages, then no problem. If the canaries went silent, the miners, understandably, got out of there in a hurry because the canaries had succumbed to the noxious, poisonous gases that were trapped in the mine and creating a real hazard to life and limb. So, what are the canaries that are happily chirping away? Well, long-dated government bonds have been ranging, so yields have not been rising all that much. The rally that I anticipate will challenge that environment. It's very likely to push long-dated government bond yields higher. If they only edge up a little bit, no problem. If they don't edge up at all, very good. If they move a lot higher, say, 5%, five or more on the U.S. 10-year Treasury, and it's below 4 right now. It's about 3.8 or something like that. That would be very worrying. So that needs to be watched. The most risky one, in my opinion, is crude oil prices. Fundamentally, I don't feel that there's a strong case for crude oil going a whole lot higher. One of the reasons I feel that way is because natural gas prices remain really quite depressed. But there's a lot of speculation going on in commodities as well, as you may have noticed, and that's been true throughout much of the last decade. And I don't think that's going to go away. So it's not impossible that speculation, plus some pickup in demand as the global economy improves over the next few months, could push that oil price up higher. If we see that getting up above $90, close to $100, that's going to be in danger territory and will be an increasing headwind for global stock markets. The other one that I've often mentioned is the US dollar. If we saw a very weak US dollar, that would cause concern. Well, my hunch is that the US dollar rally is ending. I think it was a so-called flight to liquidity and so-called quality. that was the main reason for the dollar's firmness from a region that was historically quite low. I don't feel that that the fundamentals in place for a strong dollar are really there. And if people become less worried about the sovereign debt in Europe, the euro will improve somewhat and the greenback will come off somewhat. But I've said all along that I expected mostly ranging activity in currencies. We have seen weak sterling. We have seen a weak euro, and I think we're about to see a weak yen. If we do get the weak yen, I think that will be really quite good for Japan's export-dominated economy. it's less good for it's least good for the UK because the manufacturing sector is not all that strong and therefore wouldn't it's not all that big and wouldn't therefore benefit all that much. It's somewhat better for Euroland, but only for the companies that export outside of the Euro region. It's very good for them. Okay, what else to mention here? I did mention Japan. In the Japan stock market will do well in direct proportion to the extent to which the yen weakens. Okay. Moving on to other areas. What about this US dollar? Well, I think I've already covered that. I think the US would probably like to. I'm talking now about the Fed and the Treasury. The Treasury in particular would probably like to see the US dollar stop rallying against any currency. And actually, you know, it hasn't rallied much at all against the Asian currencies and resources currencies. It's been mainly a story, as I, to repeat myself, but it's an important point, sterling and euro weakness. But those two trends look overstretched on the downside, as I wrote earlier in the in the week and have said in these audios. Okay, so in terms of, I was referring to the dollar in terms of the canaries, it's still happily singing away that we do not have a problem with the dollar here right now. So this is a good environment here for stock markets overall. Now, if I'm looking at the wrong canaries, and I don't think I am, but if I am, and so or something else comes along, the point is that today stock market investors can remain relaxed as long as we do not see those February reaction lows taken out. That's the bottom line. And they are not under threat now. They were back a few weeks ago. I described it as the moment of truth, and we would either rally from those MAs or we were in a different ball game, to coin a phrase. And fortunately, we have seen rallies from those levels. What about precious metals? I'm impressed to see palladium surge into new high ground. There's always some sort of little special situation factor involved in something like that. Most of that comes from Russia. Most of it's probably being used in China as a catalytic converter. But its sister metal, and the big sister is platinum. Platinum had a dull day in here today, but I will be very surprised if it doesn't follow palladium higher, assuming that palladium maintains this breakout and extends it within its overall upward trend. Gold, I think gold's action and silver's action is favorable. It does indicate that we still have scope for some further strength during this cyclically favorable period. If we get a somewhat weaker US dollar, which is what I expect, then don't be surprised if gold exceeds its peak in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And industrial metals, again, would benefit from a weaker US dollar. They have generally good patterns overall. They're volatile and they range a lot. But I think that they're benefiting again from the improvement in the global economy, which is strong in the emerging markets, quite good in the developed country resources producers, and is getting up off the floor in the OECD. Economies. That's, I think, the way to put it. And that will continue to improve. Too much improvement, and it's bad for stock markets, but we haven't reached that point yet. Bad for stock markets because it'll drive the commodities even higher, drive the bond yields up, and all the other things, and those canaries will be lying on the bottom of the cages with feet up in the air. But that is not the problem. That is not the problem today. That is something that happens somewhere out there in the future, and there's no point in trying to pin it down any further than that. What else to mention? The agricultural commodities. I think that's the only sector I haven't touched on here. Bit of a mixed bag, really. Cotton's done very well. Sugar and coffee appear to have, or cocoa rather, appear to have blown out after their very strong bullish runs. The grain and bean complex, rough rice, those are the really important ones in terms of inflationary pressures. If there was a canary in the coal mine for those, it would be chirping away quite happily as far as inflation pressures are concerned, because the grain and bean complex remains subdued, ranging in what are probably base formations as we move into quite soon into a more interesting and lively season in terms of crop activity. If the grains and beans take off big time, we'll have a problem in terms of food inflation, but they're not doing that at the moment. And that, my friends, is it for another week. It's been quite a good week. I hope you've enjoyed it and profited from it. Have a great weekend. All the best.